97.1 FM, 1400 KSPT, and 1450 KBFI.
The opinions expressed on this program are those of the hosts and their guests, and not of Blue Sky Broadcasting.
Hello, welcome to Common Law. I'm your host, Arthur Beislein. My email is commonlaw7@gmail.com. And I am happy to say that I got a question. I actually got it last month, and I somehow missed it in my email, and it was sent to me again. And I'll read it to you, and then I'll give you the answer. A man and a wife own real property. One day the husband passes away. And then the wife passes away within 2 hours of that occurring. The husband and the wife have no children together. The wife has no children. The husband, however, has a son from a previous marriage. Now, the husband left a will leaving everything to his wife, and the wife had no will at all. So the question is, what happens to the husband and or the wife's estate? Who is the inheriting party? Well, the answer to that is provided by Idaho Code 152-601 that provides a devisee, in this case, the wife, who does not survive the testator by 120 hours, is treated as if she, in this case, predeceased the testator, unless the will provides otherwise. So in this case, if the will had a provision that altered that rule that said, you know, if she dies after me, even if it's 5 minutes, then she inherits. Well, then that would be the result. The wife would inherit everything. And if she has no children, it would go back up to her parents. And then if there are no parents, then down to any siblings and on from there. And just so we can remind everybody, it doesn't ever end up going to the state. That rarely ever happens. So that's the answer to that question. If his will didn't have any other provision, then the wife is deemed to have predeceased him, which means that his sole heir is his son, and he would inherit the real property. But thank you for the question. And the same person who asked me the question pointed out the, you know, fairly obvious inconsistency in me inviting everybody down to talk to me and then at the other side of my mouth calling people idiots. I can assure you that I don't do that if you come talk to me. I don't. I could tell you names of a few very conservative friends who I really enjoy talking to, and they will confirm that that never happens. Why do I act that way on this show? Well, because I want a reaction. And I've told this person I didn't get permission to use her name on the air, but I would love to have her down. And then she told me, well, before COVID, they had a group of conservative and liberal, I guess, for lack of a better term, women, and they would sit around and they would have actual rational discussions and talk about, you know, what each other thought. And, you know, that I'm happy to do that. And I was considering doing that because, you know, I don't care what you think. I really just care why you think it. And my only goal is to slow your roll. And I think I'm going to trademark those two. Maybe those would be my new taglines. I think they're pretty good. But anyway, I would invite her to come down and talk with me. It sounds to me like she might be on the other side of the spectrum a little bit from maybe where I am, but not on everything. But again, I'm not intending to insult you. I just want somebody to talk to me, and I won't do it anymore. But with that said, Donald Trump is a deplorable person. He is an indefensible person. I can understand why maybe we gave him a role and, you know, the first time, something new, whatever. Forgive some of who he is. Give him a try. But after 5 years of this guy being around, if you still think it's a good idea, well, I don't know really what to do with you. I mean, he cheats on his wife with porn stars and bribes them to be quiet about it. He gives big tax cuts to rich people and companies. He colludes with foreign powers to try to win elections. He continues to lie to the people that the election was stolen, and now he incites violence and praises it in the political process. And now he's using burner phones during the insurrection. You know, if you don't want burner phones, say one thing clearly: I'm guilty of something. I mean, nobody can deny that. So No, he is a bad person. And remember, it's about bigger government or smaller government. It's not about any one person. And I think that's what we've all forgotten. Anyway, with that, we'll go to our first break. And we will talk when we come back about a lot of different things, the recent elections, and perhaps that leaked opinion from the Supreme Court. Anyway, this is Common Law 7B. I'm Arthur Beisein, and we will be right back.
BF Quick Lube at the top of the South Hill does more than just lubes and oil changes. They do them quick. Just stop by or call and make an appointment at 208-267-7481. Along with regular maintenance, BF Quick Lube can handle most of your other auto repairs. BF Quick Lube would like to take this time to say thank you to each of their customers for putting their trust and support in their services year after year. For a quick lube and oil change and so much more, visit your friends at BF Quick Lube on the South Hill in Bonner's Ferry.
It's ready and waiting for you, the Floating Restaurant in Hope. And right now they're wild about morel mushrooms, an appetizer on your steak, in your pasta, or in an Eggs Benedict. Wild morels, eat inside in the open-air dining room, belly up to the bar, or outside on the covered patio. Come by boat or car for lunch, dinner, and the fabulous Sunday brunch. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday at noon, and Sundays for brunch at 10 a.m. The fabulous Floating Restaurant in Hope.
Hello, this is Brian Smith, parent of a graduating senior. Grad night preparations are underway for the Sandpoint High class of 2022. Our mission is to provide a fun, safe environment for students to celebrate their graduation together that is both alcohol and drug free. We want to thank all who have contributed so far for your generosity. However, we continue to need cash donations as well as the donation of prizes. If you're willing to contribute, please contact Darcy Smith at the Bonner County Fairgrounds. Thank you for helping make grad night a special event for this amazing class.
At ProX Home Center, we're all about projects, no matter if your project is big or small. Let our experts and friendly staff help you get it right the first time. And did you know ProX delivers? That's right. Whether it's lumber, landscaping materials, home building supplies, doors, appliances, windows, flooring, concrete, roofing, and so much more, we'll get it to your door. Call us today for details. ProX Home Center, serving Boundary, Bonner, and Lincoln counties. ProX Home Center, your hometown everything store.
Save now with BuyMart's latest savings book arriving exclusively in our members' mailboxes this week. You'll find 20 pages packed full of store-wide savings. Plus, get ready for Memorial Day and enjoy the outdoors with the next Grill Gas Grill, Coleman Camp Chairs, and a Cascade Meadows Bistro Patio Set. Home of the $5 lifetime membership at BuyMart, our members save more time and money. Employee-owned, real value every day. It's who we are.
Hi, this is Mark Sauter, and I want to humbly thank all of my supporters, endorsers, and especially all of you who voted for me in the recent primary election. I look forward to hearing from you, and we'll see you around this summer. If you have any concerns or questions, please contact me at marksauterforidaho.com. I am committed to being your responsible representative, North Idaho. Again, thank you for your votes.
Paid for by Campaign for Mark Sauter, Ryan Wells, Treasurer.
North Idaho's Radio, 97.1 FM and 1450 and 1400 AM.
Welcome back to Common Law. I'm your host, Arthur Beisein. Thank you for listening today. Anyway, back what I was talking about, having maybe some group discussions. I don't mean on the radio. I can understand why not everybody wants to come down here and broadcast to a bunch of people. I was thinking, you know, finding a place to sit and do it. Maybe, you know, when Connie's isn't busy back in a corner or something, or maybe we need something bigger. But if anybody's interested in that, shoot me an email, commonlaw7b@gmail.com. Before I move on to anything terribly substantive, I don't know if I said this on the last show because it had already happened at this point, but I like going to Canada. I love going to Nelson. It feels very familiar, but very different. And you can get there and pretty quickly from here. And you can go two ways. You can go through Salmo, or you can go up through Eastport. And there's a third one in between there, but basically Eastport and the other one are pretty much the same. So if you go through Salmo and you check the website and it says it's open till 8, well, it's not. It closes at 4. And so if you get all the way over there at 5, Well, if you want to still go up to Nelson, you got to turn around and drive 3 hours back to Eastport, and there's no easy way to get there. It's all the way back down through Priest River and Sandpoint and back up. So just keep that in mind if you want to go to Salmo. And since it is fairly topical right now, we've had these couple of shootings recently. I think I've already commented that banning these weapons that are always used in these attacks is not the solution. It's it would be, one, unconstitutional, and two, it just would be completely unenforceable. And what it would do is what you do when you make other illicit things illegal, you drive them into the hands of criminals and you have them in the underground and you lose the ability to track or know where they are or who has them. And it's unconstitutional because the problem's not the guns. The problem is mental health. And the problem is who has the guns. And so just banning them all would be too narrow. I mean, not narrowly tailored enough, meaning that you're using a sledgehammer to hammer in a sewing needle. But banning magazines, clips, or whatever you want to call them, for these weapons that hold more than 10 shells, well, that, I don't see any problem with that. I mean, if you can demonstrate some need to have more than 10 rounds in your AR-15, well, then we'll give you a permit to have one. What needs to be done also is gun control. Yeah, gun control. I'm totally for it. I think it's a great idea, and that doesn't mean that I'm about banning weapons. It means I'm about controlling guns. And you can't say that there's some right to privacy embedded in a Second Amendment that reads a well-regulated militia. Regulations do not imply a right of privacy. We all know that. So I've said it before, we can create some jobs. Here's what we need to do is just say, y'all got 2 years, myself included, to bring your weapon down, and we'll either buy it from you and destroy it, no questions asked, or we're going to register it. We're going to shoot it into ballistic gel. We're going to have all the ballistics on your weapon, and then you can have it back. And the arguments against that is always, basically a right of privacy. I don't want the government to know what guns I have. Well, the government can know what guns you have. That's what it says. We need to know who has what, a well-regulated militia. And the other dumb argument that they make is, well, if they know what guns I have, they're going to come take them all. Really? Logistically, how is that going to work? If they go door to door, they'll be in a bloodbath by the third door. The only other way to do this would be to have enough people that you can seize all of the weapons at the same time. And by the time you put together that clan, something would have stopped it, or we'd had a civil war or something. So that's not a legitimate argument either. And the fact that we don't have background checks and just allow people to sell these things at gun shows, that's just totally unacceptable. I mean, there's no constitutional right to conduct business any old way you see fit. You can't just sell dynamite without a whole big paper trail to do it. I mean, what's the difference? You can't drive a car without, you know, registering the 3,000-pound projectile. So I don't see any problem with true gun control, which is we're going to know what you have. Yeah, some stuff can be banned. You don't need a silenced weapon. And of course, it's not truly silenced, it's suppressed. But there's just no need for that unless you're law enforcement or the military. I cannot possibly think why you would want to shoot a gun and not have everybody hear it. Unless you're breaking the law. I mean, if somebody's getting in your house and you have to shoot at them, you don't care if the neighbors call the cops. That's what you want them to do. Anyway, so before we get on to the elections, I just got a comment on the sheep. During the pandemic, I saw these shirts about, you know, you good little sheep, put on your mask. All right, well, sheep are people who believe anything they're told. So some of the sheep during the pandemic believed that a mask and a vaccine was a good idea because they were told that. And some of the other sheep believe that masks and vaccine cause health problems because they were told that. And so they both didn't do their own research. They both didn't have any reason to know except what they were told. So who's the sheep? I mean, and the same people that don't like masks are the same ones being told an election was stolen with no proof and believing it. That is herd mentality. You're not thinking if you buy in that line of BS. And I bring it up because last show I told you needed to vote for Lance Wasdin for Attorney General because he's a conservative from Southern Idaho and he's very good at what he does and he is very apolitical and he follows the law. And then one of my very best friends told me she voted for Labrador because he was, quote, conservative. And I'm like, what? I mean, you are a really good friend of mine, and you have heard this Wasdin name many, many times, and me sing his praises, even though I'm a, quote, liberal. And you voted for this guy because he's a conservative. And so a Republican Mormon from Southern Idaho is not conservative enough? I mean, what is? Somebody who espouses the election fraud, like, without proof, like Labrador? So you have a guy who's a head lawyer for this state who believes things without any proof of it? Well, I sure hope he doesn't prosecute cases on things he believes without any proof of it. It's a waste of your tax dollars, and it's going to be a huge waste of some poor defendant's defense money. Anyway, and so then we also, let's have a review of the legislative process, how this works. We are a representative democracy. What does that mean? It means that you don't get to go down to Boise and tell them, hey, you need to give the DOT some money to come up here and fix these ridiculous roads. You don't get to do that. You send somebody down there to do that for you. And who did you just choose to send? Scott Herndon. Okay, that's a bad idea. Now, Mr. Herndon's very passionate about his views, and that's to be commended, whether you agree with him or not. That's not his job. To go down there to push forward his agenda. It is his job to go down there and remind those people in the great state of Ada that we're up here because they don't often remember that. And you know, Mr. Herndon's going to have a hard time getting anything done if he is going around pushing things that he traditionally does. I mean, you have to get the people to go with you and talk to you and do things. And I, you know, maybe I'm wrong and I hope I am. Because I don't agree with his political views at all, but I hope that he can get something done. I mean, I don't care what side of the fence you're on, if you can get them to fix these roads, I don't, you know, I'll totally vote for you. And I'm also a little disappointed that he flat out lied on some of his campaign stuff. Now, if you voted for him, you probably voted for Trump, so you don't care if he lied. One glaring one was when he claimed that Jim Woodward supported some millions of dollars to teach critical race theory. And then he cites a House bill. Well, I read it, you know, and I've read a couple of laws before. I'm not the best at it, but I can read, and maybe I missed it. I didn't see it anywhere in there. So I don't know what he was talking about. And then I went to his website, and he's saying how Idaho cities just serve at the whim of the legislature. Well, that's just flat not true, folks. Idaho is not like other states, and Mr. Herndon knows this because he's seen it in a legal brief. Idaho cities are constitutionally created creatures. The legislature can create the means by which a city comes into existence, but once it does, it has its own set of constitutional rights, and one of those is called the police power, which you know what that means, the right to do what you got to keep your people safe, okay? Well, Mr. Herndon's down there arguing that the farmers in Boise can tell us up here in our cities and counties how to keep our people safe when it comes to guns. He supports this law, this statute that says we can pass no ordinance or anything. Only the state can pass gun laws. Now, that clearly is an infringement on the city and county's right to exercise police powers within their own borders. Idaho Supreme Court has already spoken on this. And I got a minute and a half or so. I think I can read it to you before the next break. And here we go. Under this constitutional provision, the cities of the state are in notably different position than our cities and jurisdictions where their police powers are strictly limited to that found in the charter or legislative grant. The police power is a necessary concomitant to complete sovereignty and inheres primarily in the state. The exercise of that power within the corporate limits of cities and villages has been delegated to their respective municipalities. The Supreme Court has said that this police power is the least limitable of the powers of government. And here's the kicker. They have said already, A statute prohibiting the carrying of concealed deadly weapons would be a proper exercise of the police power of this state, which means it's a proper exercise of the police power of a city. You do not want a representative who's down in southern Idaho telling those people that they can tell us how to keep our citizens safe. And with that, I think we'll go to our next break. And when we come back, I think we'll jump into that leaked opinion. It's Common Law 7B, and we'll be right back.
NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness, is the largest grassroots organization for mental health in the country. Hi, this is Jessica Rachels. Our Far North branch has been serving Bonner County for over 14 years. Your mental health matters to us, and we are dedicated to improving your quality of life in any way we can. As always, we welcome all to the NAMI Far North Support Meetings every third Wednesday of the month at the VFW Hall on Pine Street. Contact NAMIFarNorth.org for more information.
At Winter Ridge Natural Foods, we love our local vendors. With over 500 local and regional products, shop with us to support farmers, artisans, fermenters, and brewers. Our produce is booming, from Red Wheelbarrow, Pack River, Evergreen Produce, and more local farms. Huckleberry items are arriving as well. Honey, jams, and handmade chocolates. We'll always have the local staples of meats, milk, and eggs. Plus, check out our locally made soaps and other beauty products. Find these and more at Winter Ridge. Local, natural, delicious. On the corner of Lake and Boyer in Sandpoint.
May is a beautiful time of year. The sun comes out, the weather's warmer, and it's a great time to climb in your car, windows down, wind in your hair, and drive yourself to the Kootenai Casino in Bonner's Ferry. Because May is the month for winning, my friend. You can qualify every day in May with our midweek hot spins, tournament Tuesdays, and weekend double hot spins, all for a shot at winning our big super progressive jackpot. But it isn't all about gaming. We offer midweek rooms in the Kootenai Falls Lodge for just $99 a night, or Riverview rooms at just $119 a night. We'll even throw in breakfast for two. Plus, we've got the Springs Restaurant serving up amazing dishes every day, and the Kootenai Spa, where you can take a much-needed break from winning and relax. So plan a beautiful May getaway to the Kootenai Casino in Bonner's Ferry, where the views are scenic, the people are friendly, and the gaming is red hot. To book your room, call 888-YOU-ARE-LUCKY or visit KootenairiverInn.com.
I'm Shanola Hampton. Every day, millions of people face hunger. Today, I will share with you some of their experiences. I'm stuck between paying for medications or paying for food. John from Maine. After paying my bills, I can buy groceries. It's sad to say, food comes last. Alice from Oregon. I thought pantries were for less fortunate people, but anybody could be less fortunate in a day or even a second. Claire from Virginia. The Feeding America Network of Food Banks helps provide over 6 billion meals to people in need each year. No one should have to worry where their next meal will come from. Together, we can end hunger. Learn more at feedingamerica.org.
Welcome back to Common Law 7B. I'm your host, Arthur Beislein. We were just talking about the rights of the cities to, you know, protect their citizens in any way that they deem fit. And the other thing that occurs to me there is I was always of the opinion that it was a conservative ideal that some faraway government should not be telling us how to live our lives where we live. I guess 400 miles is not that far away. I mean, I don't understand why a true conservative wouldn't be extremely offended that people in Boise are telling us how to keep our citizens safe clear up here. Anyway, but that's, you know, what happened to that? Well, I'll tell you what happened to it. It's called cafeteria conservatism. You know, we like freedom as long as you're doing what we want. That's all good. We can't make you wear a mask, but we can make you carrying around a foreign body in you that you don't want. We can't tell you can't take horseworming medicine to cure COVID, but we can make marijuana illegal, even though we, you know, make a ton of money off of booze anyway. So, but anyway, getting back to let's talk about the leaked Supreme Court opinion. It concerns me it was leaked. I don't know where to come down on who did it. You could think that a hardcore anti-abortion person maybe did it to make it too hard for them to change their mind. Or you could think somebody who is the other way, didn't want to wait until July to get everybody motivated to unelect people that are going to take this right. I don't know what the motivation was, but it's just really a bad idea. I mean, I don't know. So now what are we going to have? The only people having babies are the women who are too poor to go somewhere to get an abortion. So that's getting off on the good foot, isn't it? You're poor with a mother who does not want you. Excellent. Good plan, everybody. And the same people are the same ones that say, we shouldn't help with child care, and we're not going to make birth control easy to get. So we're just going to create all these wonderful new problems. And just quickly, child care is not about handouts, folks. You just say, look, child care is something that you get as part of your compensation. Meaning if you got a job, then we're going to subsidize some child care, which we need to do. This is about workforce people. It's not about handouts or welfare. It's like you're not going to sit at home and have your kid at child care. You're going to go to work. And I have people in my life who I know who don't work full time because it's not worth it considering the cost of child care. And so if we want more workers, we need to give these women ability, or men, but mainly women, to get out of the house and go, you know, work without having all their money chewed up by childcare. But anyway, back to abortion and this leaked opinion. And before we begin, take your favorite search engine and look up fascist regimes and the rights of women. Do a little research on where they start when they get rolling, these fascist regimes, and what happens to women's rights. Anyway, just something to think about. So this is a big victory for conservatives, this abortion ruling. Well, or is it? I don't have any dog in the fight. You know, last time I went to the bathroom, I don't think that really abortion is an issue for me. So I'm not really telling you what I think about whether you should or shouldn't get one. I mean, the idea here is that the rationale of that leaked opinion should scare you. And because let me explain a little bit about con law, and maybe I can get you concerned with this as I am. You cannot be denied life, liberty, or property without due process of law. We all know that. 14th Amendment makes that rule apply to all the states. And I think we can all agree that the right to control what you do with your body is your liberty interest. That is what you were all complaining about when you refused to wear a mask into Walmart, even though by not doing so, you were violating Walmart's property rights. But that's what you were complaining about. The right to control your body is your liberty interest. When you go to jail, you lose your right to control your body, your liberty interest. So what does Roe versus Wade say? The case says that the right to privacy includes the right to have an abortion up to a certain point. Well, and those who argue that Roe is wrongly decided say the word privacy doesn't appear in the Constitution, and they're absolutely correct. Privacy never appears in the Constitution. But that's not what Roe says. Roe says due process, the liberty interest, is implicit. There's a right to privacy in that. Now, nobody can disagree with that. You can't possibly say that I can stand in your shower and stare at you and violate no law. I mean, that's definitely a violation. That's what that privacy is there. Now, did they even need to say that word? No, they didn't need to say that word. I mean, it's no more fundamental than the right. Liberty is fundamentally the right to do with your body what you want. If you don't want to carry a foreign body around in your body, you shouldn't have to, whether it be a pair of forceps or a tumor or a fetus. Now, I get you're going to say a fetus is different than those other things. And okay, well, I agree it is. Now, when it becomes different, that therein lies the problem. We don't know that. But we definitely know the mother's alive. We do know that. And so we definitely know she has a due process right to control her body. So whatever the morality of abortion, if that is an issue, well, it's not an issue for this tribunal, folks. It's an issue with a different tribunal, not of this earth. We're not competent to write laws based on what we think God wants. I mean, that makes you real arrogant. I'm pretty sure that's a sin. I can't remember which one, but thinking you're right in God's eyes probably means you're most definitely not, I would think. Anyway, so that's what Roe says, that the due process contains this right of privacy. And okay, why is the leaked opinion so very, very scary to you? Because of this statement right here. We hold that Roe and Casey must be overruled. The Constitution makes no reference to abortion, and no such right is implicitly protected by any constitutional provision, including the one on which the defenders of Roe and Casey now chiefly rely, the Due Process Clause of the 14th Amendment. That provision has been held to guarantee some rights that are not mentioned in the Constitution, but any such right must be deeply rooted in the nation's history and tradition and implicit in the concept order, liberty. Alrighty then, so let's break that down. So what they're saying is if something was not deeply rooted in our history when the Due Process Clause was written, well then you can write laws to basically get rid of it. So let's see, what else was not really in or rooted in our history when they wrote the Due Process Clause in 1787? Rifled barrels. Yeah, they didn't have those yet. Or semi-automatic weapons or fully automatic weapons. They didn't have any of those things. How can they possibly be deeply rooted in our Constitution? Yeah, you got the Second Amendment says you have the right to bear arms. Well, you also have the Due Process Clause that you have the right to do with your body what you want. And so the analysis, the logic applies right across the board. You could ban any gun that wasn't a muzzle loader. I mean, and there's no getting around this, folks. And if you read that opinion, they say, oh, well, this doesn't apply to anything else. This is narrowly just to this. It doesn't work that way. You can't say this when you have a thing that says the reason that we're doing this is based on this law that is not specific to anything. You can't limit anybody else, any future court or even yourself from saying, well, yeah, no, rifled barrels didn't exist. And so, I guess we can ban them. And what else didn't exist? Well, let's see, the right to be free from wiretap surveillance without a proper warrant. Wiretap? We didn't have radios or any of that. Phones, obviously not. Telegraph hadn't even been invented. So how could that possibly be contemplated by your right to be free from unreasonable searches and seizures? And let's see, oh yeah, your right to refuse to take vaccines? They didn't exist when they wrote the Constitution. So I guess they can force you to do that. Oh, and a lawyer to provide your defense, that was not firmly rooted in our nation's history. You've heard of Gideon versus Wainwright. I don't know what, 50-something, 1950-something? That doesn't qualify as deeply rooted. I think they could throw that one out if they wanted to. And oh, Miranda, the right to remain silent after you get arrested. Well, that certainly wasn't deeply rooted in our history. If you read any criminal procedure, that was the most fruitful time of any investigation, was before you ever told the guy that, you know, you don't really have to talk to us, incriminate yourself. So they could throw that out too. So, and again, saying that this only applies to abortion does not work. And I got to add, why would you trust him? Because the guys that voted for this pretty clearly to me said that, you know, Roe versus Wade was stare decisis. The matter has been decided. And then they just went ahead and overruled it. So, you know, I don't see that anything else down the road is in any way protected. This is not a victory for conservatives. Now, maybe you don't like abortion, but you also don't like crime. And you don't think it's ever okay that, the police can just do whatever they want to try to get any evidence they like. You would never think it's okay to just come kick down your door because you've chosen. We all chose. We chose some crime because we choose freedom. Freedom creates crime. If you go to Singapore, a very clean place because you spit your gum out and they cane you, right? Well, yeah, you can have a very free and clean and crime-free society. Not free, I mean, because, you know, if you give people freedom, they're going to break the law. That's human nature. Anyway, it's time for our next break. This is Common Law 7B. I'm your host, Arthur Beislein. Thank you for listening, and we'll be right back for our last segment.
Let thick and thin beams of Bonner's Ferry, your hometown sawmill, help you. Spruce up your home with new flooring, a decorative mantel, or desktop, or beams up to 44 feet long. Just about anything you can dream up, the guys at TNT can help design. For all your wood product needs, it's thick and thin lumber, fast, reliable service, and competitive pricing. See the mill at 4355 Cow Creek Road, or check out their website at tntbeams.com.
Have you tried the new Fast Lane checkout at the Sandpoint Super One Foods? There's six new Fast Lane checkout stations, and they are super convenient and super easy to use. Check it out today. And if you're looking for a great job, Super One Foods is hiring with a variety of positions available, with some of them starting at $18 an hour. Apply today at superonefoods.net or simply stop by the store and ask for Steve or Lynn. Super One Foods in Sandpoint.
The world's largest manufacturer of wood fencing boards, Alta Forest Products, is currently hiring. Alta is looking for dedicated people to join their team. Alta employs over 400 dedicated people across the Pacific Northwest and is currently hiring for their Naples, Idaho mill. Alta Forest Products offers one of the highest starting wages in North Idaho, as well as life, medical, dental, and vision insurance, sick leave, plus matching 401k. They are now also offering part-time 20-hour-per-week shifts. No experience necessary. Join the Alta team now. Apply online at jobs@altafp.com. That's jobs@altafp.com. Made in the USA, Alta Forest Products is the world leader in quality wood fencing. Apply now for full or part-time at jobs@altafp.com. Alta Forest Products in nearby Naples, Idaho. jobs@altafp.com.
First Responders Children's Foundation takes care of the children and families the brave ones leave at home. Help us help them. These are the beautiful voices of police officers, firefighters, nurses, and teenagers who remind us that we can come together and create harmony and unity. Brave to 24365 to learn how you can help your first responder community today.
Welcome back to Common Law. I'm your host, Arthur Beislein. As we started off with today, we had a question from the radio listeners out there. If you have one you'd like me to answer, email it to commonlaw7b@gmail.com. And remember, it's not legal advice because we don't have an attorney-client relationship. I haven't said that in quite some time. I think most people understand that if you don't actually engage with me, it's hard for me to give you advice. But since somebody did, I should probably clarify it. We just were talking about the Supreme Court opinion, the leaked opinion. And you know, one interesting thing is Idaho, of course, has already, you know, passed a law, and somebody asked for it to be stayed, and then the Supreme Court granted the stay, you know, saying you can't enforce this law yet. Now, I think the most likely reason they did that is because Roe versus Wade still is the law of the land. A leaked opinion is not an opinion, until it's released. But there is something else to consider that might be going on. Is, you remember, Roe versus Wade is based on the due process clause of the United States Constitution as applied to the states via the 14th Amendment. Well, here is something else that the legislature, as we know, decides what they want to do, and then the Supreme Court decides if what they want to do is constitutional under the federal and the state constitution. Idaho has a constitution. Most of you, I think, know that. It also has a due process clause in it. And on our own Supreme Court on more than one occasion has stated, although the content of the state's due process clause is generally the same as that of the due process clause of the federal Constitution's 14th Amendment, it may in some instances be broader, meaning the protections it provides are broader than the federal Constitution. Okay, so then you take that statement and then you apply, you know, the analysis that this leaked opinion uses, which is firmly rooted in the nation's history. Well, firmly rooted in the state's history would have to be our analysis, folks. And the first 60 years of its existence, Idaho did not outlaw abortion. Then in 1950, they did not completely, and then they started restricting it, and then Roe versus Wade came out, and they tried to, you know, do what they could within those confines. But I looked, and I don't think there's ever been a challenge to an outright ban on abortion under Idaho's due process clause. So remember, whatever this leaked opinion says, it does not say that outlawing abortion is to be allowed. It just says under the federal constitution, we can't tell a state they can't do it. That has nothing to do with whether a state's own Supreme Court can say you can't tell somebody that. And, you know, we are in Idaho and we're a conservative state. And yes, most conservatives don't think abortion should be legal, but by the same token, they also don't think the government should be telling us what we can do with our own bodies. So who knows? I mean, I think it would be very interesting if the Idaho Supreme Court would say, yeah, you know, not going to work for us, not under our constitution. Well, we know what would happen next. They'd get unelected, which again, why we allow judges or force judges to run for election is absolutely ludicrous. So you can get, you know, jurists appointed based on one issue, how they feel about abortion. I mean, if that's how you're voting, then you really ought to forfeit your right to vote. There's a lot more important things going on than that, which is why a lot of people supported Trump, because this is what they knew would happen. And I don't blame Trump for this. I don't even blame Mitch McConnell. I blame Barack Obama, because I've said it before in my business, when you have a piece of paper that gives you a right to do something and then somebody doesn't let you do it, well, what do? You sue them. Maybe they didn't teach that at Harvard Law. I don't know. I think they do. I think they churn out some litigators there. I mean, that's kind of the idea. So Obama had a constitutional right to appoint somebody, and Mitch McConnell said, I'm not going to let you. Wrongo, then you get sued. And if I ever meet the guy, I'm not going to sing his praises. I'm going to ask him why he didn't and why he screwed up his health care plan, as we discussed, by not making it more expensive to not have health care than to have health care. And I want to tell you my plan again, because I think that somebody should tell the whole world this. I mean, the insurance companies would have loved Obamacare. If it would have actually had the effect of forcing all these healthy young people to buy insurance, then they would have absolutely loved it. But they didn't like it, because what it did was force them to provide insurance to sick people who wanted it, when the poor people were just paying the penalty on their taxes rather than buying the insurance. So what we do is, just like your homeowner's insurance, or just like your mortgage company, I mean, they say you're going to get insurance and you're going to name us as an additional insured. That way, if you don't pay your insurance, we're going to get notice you don't have insurance, and we're going to buy you insurance and we're going to stick it on your bill. And so that's what the feds need to do. You provide proof of your insurance, and if you get canceled and we get knowledge, then you get one of these catastrophic policies. They're, you know, a $10,000 deductible. Keep the hospital from getting bankoed to 250 grand, just 10. And then you put all of those uninsured policies out to bid for these companies, and they'll pay for them because they're great insurers. Remember, automobile insurance is a good gig because everybody has to have it, the good drivers and the bad drivers. And that's, you know, Obama, when he didn't make it more expensive to not have insurance than to have it, he just basically killed his entire idea from the outset. And I don't think anybody out there really doesn't want everybody to have insurance. I don't think anybody sees a problem with that. I think they see a problem with the government forcing you to have insurance, which, again, I don't see a problem with you not having insurance if you don't want to have it. Then again, when you go into the hospital after you have your heart attack, then we're not going to fix you. You're going to die. So you don't get it both ways. You don't get to rely on the fact that we as a society have decided to fix anybody who we find who's broken, but not have insurance. So, I mean, if we truly got back to that choice and we had bodies lining up because they were uninsured, the debate on whether or not we should force people to have insurance would definitely change. And look at me. I am willing to take the middle ground and say that we can still keep these private insurance companies, even though logic and reason and even capitalism would dictate that the only insurance company should be the federal government. Because who insures the insurance companies? The federal government, right? We all know that. Hurricane happens, federal government comes in and takes care of the insurance companies so they don't go bankrupt and people can get things fixed. Because their reserve requirements that the insurance companies hold are not big enough to handle these outside of the bell curve events when they do happen. So the government comes and bails them out. All right, well, that's fine. But what is the value added to the widget by the private insurance company? And what do I mean by value added to the widget? Competition creates a better product, a widget. Well, the product of insurance is money. And you can't make money better. It just is what it is, and nothing's going to change what money is. It just is what it is. And we all, so really what matters to you is how big is your insurance company's pile of money. Because that's really what it comes down to, them being able to pay when they have to. And we all know who has the biggest pile of money. And yep, I agree. Federal government, they can't do anything very good. But an idiot can run an insurance company. I mean, it's actuarial science, it's math, it's probabilities applied to it's stats, applied to your number of outstanding policies. I mean, there's no talent in insurance other than investing all the money they make for their stockholders. So anyway, I don't know how I got off that. Just the other day I was thinking about it. But anyway, summing up, I want to get back to the opinion one last time because I can't emphasize enough that this is not about my personal views on abortion, its morality, or anything else. This opinion is a threat to a whole lot of your civil rights that we all have come to take for granted. I mean, when you start saying things like, well, abortion's not in the Constitution, well, neither is the Securities and Exchange Commission. And do we all think we should have unregulated stockbrokers? I think we can all agree that's probably not a real good idea. I think we started agreeing to that fact about 1929 or something, right around there. I don't know. But the stock market didn't even exist when they wrote the Constitution. So how can you possibly say it's allowable to regulate it? Nobody could contemplate that at the time. Well, you can't regulate them. I mean, this it's just you say, all right, he's being paranoid, slippery slope. Yeah, okay. You know what? I guess history is going to prove this one way or the other. And maybe you all don't care. Maybe you've all had enough of being a free society and you'd rather just have no crime and live in a police state. I myself am still more than happy to put up with all you fruitcakes and your weapons and everything else because I'd way rather have a basket of fruitcakes than the alternative, which is a basket of, I don't know, rocks, I guess. So don't be singing your happy dance about that opinion. Maybe you've got what you wanted with abortion, but you got a whole lot more than you were really thinking you were going to get. And with that, I would again remind you that if anybody does really want to sit down and talk about this stuff, send me an email, commonlaw7b@gmail.com. And maybe if we get enough people, we can coordinate a place to do that and sit down and have a cup of coffee and talk about whatever. So with that, I think we're coming to the end of the show. I hope you all are having I'm just going to say it. I got weather rage. We're breaking all kinds of records. Let's see, the longest streak below 70 ever. And I think the last time we hadn't hit 70 yet at this date was 1881. And we're still not there. And I am getting bitter. The only thing growing is my stupid lawn. And thankfully, I found somebody to help me mow it because nothing else is growing, just that thing. Anyway, this is Common Law 7B. Thank you again for listening. Shoot me a question or an email, and I will let you all get back to your day and have a great remainder of your week.